These documents, held by the National Archives, mainly record the reaction of British diplomats based in different parts of the United States to segregation and the response to it by the US government, civil rights leaders, and ordinary Americans. There are reports from the British ambassador and other high-ranking officials at the British Embassy in Washington sent to the Foreign Office. There are also reports from the network of British consulates in a range of cities across the US. A consulate is one tier down from an embassy. In its day-to-day work, it tends to focus on helping individual British citizens rather than engage in political matters. Nonetheless, the reports from consular officials give useful insights into the domestic situation in the US, as these documents show. In this section, I am going to draw your attention to some points which are common to all the documents shown in the resource in terms of language and tone, before moving on to look at some of the technical aspects of the British and US records. The first general point I'd like to make relates to the language used in these documents, particularly the word Negro, which is used throughout. It is used to refer to a person of black ancestry or appearance. The usage of this word was accepted by the great majority of people as normal in the 50s and 60s. Indeed, it was freely used by Martin Luther King. Over time, it became associated with the history of slavery, discrimination, and segregation. It is difficult to pinpoint the exact time when the word fell out of favour. It probably started with the growing use of the slogan Black Power in the late 60s, discussed in the last document of those displayed. Negro is certainly an obsolete word now, and its use is liable to cause offence. Similarly, the use of the word coloured to describe black people is also now obsolete. In the document which is headed Segregation in US Public Schools, Sir Roger Makins, British ambassador to the United States, makes a casual reference to the colour problem in the South. This does not signify prejudice. Sir Roger is simply using the terms that were the common currency of the time. The campaigning body, the National Association for the Advancement of Coloured People, is also mentioned in the text. It is worth making these points to your students before they embark on studying the documents. The second general point also relates to the language used in the reports by diplomats, their tone and the feel of these documents. Many of their reports are very measured, balanced, and even-handed. Good examples of this are Sir Roger Makin's memorandum on school segregation and Viscount Hood's draft dispatch headed Racial Problems in the United States. The outsider perspective of diplomats can give valuable insights into the situation. For example, press self-censorship in the US northern cities, referred to in Hood's draft dispatch. But you may wish to ask your students to explore the limits of this objectivity. Documents which you may wish to refer to in this respect might include Dennis Greenhill's letter of the 29th of July 1963, Segregationists and US Troops, in which he disparages extremes from his liberal, moderate standpoint on both sides of the civil rights struggle. The document on the effects of the Birmingham riots attempts to be even-handed, but includes statements such as, "The Negroes have raised the issue to a new dimension of crisis." Another example are the very dry comments made about the black Muslims in the report on black leadership and groups of August 1963. Value judgments are being made here. Of course, one can make the point that, however neutral these reports appear, there is no such thing as total objectivity. You may wish to ask your students to reflect on the question, why were British diplomats busily monitoring the US situation regarding civil rights? One reason was the worry of unrest or political extremism developing in Britain. The document on the Ku Klux Klan, dated the 7th of May 1957, begins, "In view of recent parliamentary questions about the Ku Klux Klan activities in the United Kingdom, you may like to have some account of the organisation's position over here. You could make reference to the state of race relations in Britain at this time and the Notting Hill riots of 1958. A further consideration behind this detailed monitoring is revealed in a letter from Dennis Greenhill, dated the 29th July 63, on segregationists and US troops. The fear that US troops might be withdrawn from NATO or elsewhere in order to deal with civil unrest in the US.